Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Chad. Jim up at Traveler's Rest. How you doing this morning?
Doing great, Jim. How about you, bud? What you out and about doing today?
All headed to church this morning and thought I'd give a quick shout out there on my way.
That's a good place to be going this morning. Me and my wife are doing some remodeling on the house. All three of our children have moved off to college. My daughter left a couple weeks ago. So we are trying to repair 20 years of three teenagers being in the house. And because our firstborn is getting engaged next weekend, and we're going to have a surprise engagement party here at the house. So we are very busy and very sore, I would like to add.
I'll do that with my three kids. They're all adults now, but I know exactly what you're talking about. And that having the kids go off to college when that last one goes out, you look at your wife and you go, okay, what are we going to do now?
Let me preface that response by saying I love my children very much. don't get me wrong, okay? But I think my wife said more of that than I did. I'm kind of enjoying it. There's been a couple of days though that I have, you know, missed my children. But just mostly in general, I love them, but it's time.
They're grounded there. Don't let them get their heads full of stuff there at college that is not good. I know from your background you won't let that happen, but too many of our young people there have been filled full of junk. So, KO4LAO.
You're right. We do keep tabs on them two or three times a day, actually. On FaceTime is a wonderful thing, you know. But, it's just, it's nice to watch. It has been very nice to watch them grow and move into college and become young adults and try to manage things. And we've had to step in a couple of times and say, hey, look, you know, we kind of think this is the direction you need to go, or this is what you need to do. And they listen. I mean, we've got some good kids, but in general, I'm enjoying the quiet, if you know what I mean.
Oh, good Lord. I sat down last night and helped one of my oldest grandchildren build a bottle rocket. So that was a lot of fun to do that with
it. When they were young, me and my wife had a saying that, children are like arrows, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full. And we have been very blessed, but we also have launched our arrows, and I am confident that they're out to be productive members of society and to start their own families and contribute as they should. I think we've done a pretty good job of that, and it's just kind of nice to watch that happen, you know.
Hey, how's the HF radio stuff coming, KO4LAO?
So I built my first antenna about a week or so ago, and built it in I cut it for 3.915 South Carolina single sideband, and I have been studying with the antenna analyzer, Smith Charts. I know I probably could have just put the thing up, but my whole point to this was to try to learn inductance, capacitance, and how all that works on an antenna and how to manage it and control it. So far, I've really only spent most of my time up on 80 meters. I'm just trying to learn that band as much as I can and learn the antenna and all of the principles that I can. So I'm going slow, but the information is staying with me and just trying to get an overall handle on how all this works. But in general, I'm enjoying it and really enjoying the learning process too.
And I'm trying to work out an issue with one of my, I've got a multiband that I built, and I can't get my SWR down below where I want it, so I'm trying to figure out what that is. It may be that I've got my baling too close to the ground, so I've got to check into that. But this, I'll tell you what, if you ever decide you're going to do CW, CW Academy is really good, and they got some great folks out there that know how to build antennas really well.
CW is on my list, but I need to push that. I've had to push that further on down the list. I went to one website. I can't remember the name of the website, though, but it's basically you download, it's basically a tone generator to learn to read first. And I did really well with the first three letters. I started with the Koch method, K-O-C-H method. And when I got to the fourth letter, that letter was very similar to the third letter. And, I spent about a week on it, and I just could not pick it out. So I just said, well, let me set this aside for now and move to antennas, and let me get the basics down first.
A CW net that happens, I don't remember the exact frequency, but it's like 3715 or something like that at 8 o'clock. And if you want to just listen, you can go. You can also get yourself a decoder. You can download one of those applications online, and it'll listen to the Morse signal, and it'll tell you what the letter is. But really, the best way to do this, as I'm being told from the experts, is don't look at the dashes and the dots. Just learn the sound. And because if you start doing dashes and dots, you're going to start counting, and that's going to slow you up down the road. They say just learn the sound, whatever an A is or B or whatever, just learn that sound, that's what that is, and then you'll do much better. CW Academy pushes the Farnsworth method a little bit more, and I'm certainly at the very beginning of this, but I spend about it, you know, I spend a little bit on it every day, and I'm starting to get to where I can hear bits and pieces of conversations when I listen to stuff. KO4LAO.
KO4LAO, KO4NUE, station ID. So you said 3.715 at what time, sir?
Yeah, it's either 3517 or 3715. I may have the frequencies wrong. Probably Tom, N0TR, would know. Maybe even Walt. I know Walt's helped you with a lot of HF stuff. But I think they have nets that meet that. Maybe one at 7, which is a fast net, and then the 8 is a slow net. It's designed for new people. And then there's one at 10 o'clock, I think. That's another fast net. But it doesn't take long. It's like maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and everybody's checked in, and they've done all they need to do. But the one at 8 o'clock, and are you on QRZ?
Yes, sir, I am. Just real easy to remember, though. Chad L. Hightower at gmail.com. Don't forget to put the L in between Chad and Hightower. And no spacing. Chad L. Hightower at gmail.com.
I'll send you some information on it, and you can listen. But just start listening. But stay away from looking at the charts. Just listen for the sounds, and I think that'll put you in good stead. And enroll in CW Academy. It's all free. And they'll help you learn this stuff. So they've got an introductory class and then a basic class, and that's where I am right now, and then they'll take you on. But they see CW as a journey. It's not something that's it's a final destination. And you make a lot of friends along the way, so I'd give it a look. And I'll send you a link on all that stuff.
Appreciate it. I really would. Just at your leisure, though. And, okay, well, KO4LAO, I, p.m. No, I'm still trying, but if just correct me if I'm wrong. This is KO4NUE 73 to you, sir. You have a blessed day, a wonderful day, and I will talk with you later.
Okay, Chad. We'll talk you at you down the road there. If you see Walt, tell him I said hi, and I'll send you that stuff. So KO4LAO will be clear. 73 to you, Chad.
4NUE and 4WHM.
4WHM, KO4NUE. Hey, Bill, how are you doing, bud? Good morning.
Man, just heard you wanted to say good morning. Hadn't talked to you in a while. Hope everything's going well. And like I said, just wanted to say hello.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. Hadn't heard from you in a while. How's Miss Lola doing?
Bad as ever and just as happy as can be.
She still owns the place?
So, very much so. She dictates our schedule and lets us know when we need to do things. And she's like a drill sergeant.
Let me tell you what my two have started doing. We have noticed some very strange behavior out of our two dogs since our last child has left for college. So when my daughter left, Abby's little dog, Pixie, she went through probably about a week or two of what we're calling depression. Just very strange behavior, but after a while, she kind of got over it. But let me tell you what they're doing to me and Anna this week. And we think this has been happening longer than a week. We just can't realize when it started happening. But we feed them in separate bowls twice a day. Once in the morning and once in the afternoon. And we give them we don't give them a lot. We try to keep their weight, keep them healthy. So what happens is in the morning, I'll go out on the porch with a cup of coffee, and I usually get up before Anna does. Let me let this repeater drop, Bill. I come out to where I am on the porch and beg and let me know that it's time for you to give us some food. So I'll go feed them what I need to feed them in the morning. And they'll go, lay on the couch or do whatever they do. And they'll wait until I go outside. And then they'll hem Anna up in the kitchen and start begging for food. And as if to say, hey, Daddy hasn't fed us this morning, and you need to give us some food. So we noticed that KC's weight started coming up a little bit, and we just said, "Hey, what's going on here?" So we're on to them, and it amazes me that how smart they are.
They know how to do things. And they'll play just like regular children. Lana will, I can take her outside and let her spend half a day. Bring her inside. She'll go straight to Jana and act like she needs to go outside to go to the bathroom, and all she wants to do is come outside and just sit down at her feet. But Lana will, I buy her chicken nuggets. I know I shouldn't, but I do. So I get her some chicken nuggets when I go through McDonald's every now and then, and I can tell her nugget. Boy, she's on her hind end sitting and got her feet raised up, and she's just as happy as can be. And, when I run out of them nuggets, she gets her feelings hurt. And she usually goes to bed when I go to bed every night. And if she she doesn't have a little treat or something, she'll pout. They're, dogs are interesting animals. They're something else.
My dad, in talking about being opposite of the spectrum here, he has a little dog that stays with him in the house, and she's some kind of terrier mix or something. I think she might have a little bit of Chihuahua in her, I'm not sure. A little lap dog kind of thing. And she is super protective. If you even come in the house, she is barking and barking and growling. But she sits up in Dad's lap. As long as she's sitting in his lap, she's just, you know, the awfulest thing in the world. So, she'll bite. She'll bite me. If I get close to Dad, she will nail me. If I try to touch him or something like that. So Dad laughs every time she nips at me or bites me. So I figured out that when I walk in the door, all I need to do is just point at her. If I just point my finger at her, she goes nuts. And she'll get so mad that she'll bite Dad. So I have figured out a way to turn it around on him and keep her from biting me. And I just pull that finger out and, oh boy, she just eats him up. She just gets so mad she don't know who to bite. I just got to bite somebody.
I tell you, dogs are, dogs, cats, I love them both, but I tell you, I love my dogs. They are something special, and I can see that little dog now just getting all hot and bothered and just nipping at anything that's in range.
I'll try to get a video of it so you can see it. It's quite funny. It gets maybe his daddy's a man. I mean, she doesn't bite him hard or anything, but it's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Well, how's work been?
We got the semester started off. All the kids are starting to figure out where to go and how to get there, and you know, it's just, I tell you, the biggest thing is we got so many job openings throughout our division. We employ in our particular division that I support about 1,700 people, full-time employees, and we've got about 100 openings, and we just can't find people to work. They don't want to work. And so that's the only issue we're having. But otherwise, the students are having a great time. I worked a game last night as a radio operator for first aid, and did first aid. And I mean, it's like, you know, like normal. And but yeah, it's crazy trying to get people hired. I got one job opening right now. I'm fixing to close and rewrite and see if I can get some better response on it for an IT position. It's just, I've never seen anything like it.
Goodness gracious. I don't know what to think about that, but you know, that's been going on for some time. I just sometimes I wonder exactly how deep this rabbit hole is going to go and what kind of problems are going to come with that. I don't think we're there yet, but I just think there's some potential there to be some trouble. But it's very, very unnerving. But Bill, I've been trying to catch you on the air now for a couple weeks. I got a quick question for you, if you don't mind answering a pretty simple computer question.
I'll do my very best. Go right ahead.
How do I locate my COM port numbers on my laptop? I've got I've got four or five ports. Three of them, I think, are USB, and I think I got one, maybe two, that is HDMI. But in order to get EchoLink set up, I need to know I need to tell EchoLink which port to go to, and I cannot for the life of me figure out how to find my port numbers.
One way you can do it is go into the control panel and settings, and or even simpler, just in the search bar down at the bottom on the start, by the start menu, type in device manager, and that'll bring up a screen that has everything about your computer, and there's a section for COM ports, and it'll tell you, you know, which ones are active, you know, like COM port 1, 4, 7, 8, whatever. That's the simplest way, and from there, it's really a hunting game. You don't know really, like, which one is which, but at least you'll know the numbers of the COM ports.
Okay, I see it. That's not really clear, is it? It's one is a root hub, three of them are composite devices, and one is a host controller. But now I know where to go to look, so I'm pretty sure I can figure that out somehow. But I appreciate you helping me with that. I've been messing around with this for about a week, and believe it or not, I have not been able to find too much help on YouTube with that.
It's not the clearest. It's clear as mud what it comes down to, because like I said, it's not like there's a map of which one is which, you know, especially if you're creating some virtual COM ports or using USB adapters. But at least that'll tell you, you know, you got COM port 1379, and from there, setting up in EchoLink, you can just do a process of elimination. But, yeah, I wish it was a better answer, but that's about all I can come up with here at the moment. In the old days, you know, you had just pure physical COM ports, and you could determine it a little easier, but now the way everything's software defined is just a listening in device manager under the hardware settings.
So what I'm noticing is when I bring up all of the port devices, even though they're not numbered, I can unplug one, and that comes off of the list. So I could write down, okay, well, keyboard is plugged into USB root hub, and do it kind of that way, yeah?
But there is most of the time, like if you got something plugged into the USB ports or virtual COM ports or even a COM port, depending on the machine, if you unplug it, like you said, it'll disappear, and when you plug it in, it'll go back to the same one. If you unplug them all at the same time, or even one at a time, sometimes they'll jump from like COM port 3 to COM port 4. The computer just reassigning it at random, but watching that, you can at least know what COM port is assigned to what device.
Well, I appreciate that, bud. I do. But, okay, well, listen, I'm gonna say 7-3s. My sister-in-law, it's her time to watch over our mother-in-law this weekend, so she's over here drinking a cup of coffee, and I just cannot pass up the opportunity to go in there and mess with her early in the morning. And so I'm going to say 7-3s and see if I can go in there and get some stuff started. So this is Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo. Bill, thank you so much for the info, and it was wonderful talking to you. Tell Miss Lola I said hello, and I'm clear on your file.
Good talk to you. Yeah, I've been trying to catch you for about a week just to catch up, so good to talk with you, and hopefully the rest of your weekend will go fine, and next week will be great. So I'll shoot you a text here in the next few days. Me and Patrick, we're talking now that it's getting cooler. We're, like I said, we're still wanting to come down and meet up, whether it's just for a day or we do maybe a overnight trip at your deer camp. So, but we'll talk to you later, buddy. 73s. Stay safe and stay healthy. And 4WHM, I'll be clear.
That schedule. We'll let it cool off just a little bit more, but I'm thinking probably middle of October maybe, but I'll get with Patrick and shoot him a text, or we'll have a group conversation one. But yeah, that needs to be that needs to happen. I would love to see both of you again. Also, the other thing before I go, Bill, is going to let you know, I bought me a antenna analyzer. And when you get ready, let me know if you want to. I'll make a trip down your way. And we'll take a look at the antenna you got and graph it and print it on paper so that you can have it as a record in your ham shack so you know where your antenna is resonant and know what frequencies, you know, your SWR is and all that information that comes with that. So just let me know if you need some help with that. I'll definitely head your way and we'll knock that out. Okay, talk to you later, Bill. KO4 NUE 73s. I'm clear.
We'll do that. M4WHM clear.
KO4 NNH monitoring. WHM, this is KO4NNH. My name is Fred. I'm doing pretty well. I'm just sitting in the QTH right now. Heard y'all talking on the repeater a little bit.
Trying to catch up a little bit. Reaching out to good friends and new ones, and good to hear you on there this morning. Are you on Echolink?
As a matter of fact, I'm actually doing some research right now, trying to look into possibly doing a fusion to Echolink node of sorts.
That'd be interesting. I use Echolink on my phone when I'm out of range or out of town, so I enjoy working with Echolink. Pretty solid little program.
I agree with you more there. I'm guessing this is Bill. It's been a little while since I talked to you, but yeah, I got a lot of Fusion things. I got a lot of Fusion handheld I use here at home, my hotspot. I've been thinking or looking into doing a Fusion to Echolink for a while there, especially whenever I'm at home, because I got a weird setup for my 991A, and I don't exactly, especially whenever it rains, I can't exactly pull the antenna or pull the cable inside.
Getting a cable can be getting your coax in can be a job. About a month ago, I spent half a day reworking all my antennas and put up a off-center fed dipole. And when I did, I decided to go ahead and do them right. I had them coming through a window pass through, and I took and drilled out half a brick and cut it out and cut through the sheetrock and made me a pass-through and mounted it with a weatherproof enclosure and got everything set up. I like that a lot better than that window pass-through I had. So, but it was a a little more work than I'd anticipated, and got everything grounded, and it is worth the work. So it can be rewarding to get little projects like that done.
Yeah, I'm currently at the shack right now, or at least the shack part of my house. I've been debating upon how I'm going to run this cable inside. Right now, I've literally got it thrown outside, and I bring it in whenever I'm ready to play radio on my 991A. But beyond that, it's either the mobile or the handheld that I use most frequently. Now I got my journal license, I'm like, man, I need to get this stuff inside somehow so I can play radio.
Congratulations on getting the general. I'm scheduled to test the first Tuesday in October, so that's coming up quick, so I can hopefully get my general ticket. I've already got a home base station, Kenwood 590S HF rig, and then I've got several different 2 meter, 70 centimeter radios on my desk, and just getting ready to, I've been listening a lot on HF, but getting ready to start talking here in a couple of weeks, I hope. I feel like I'm ready for the test, and I want to get in the POTA parks on the air, and so I'm trying to get everything lined up for that. So it's like any hobby, there's always things to do.
Absolutely right about that one. I've been thinking about making a little parks on the air a Pelican case of sorts, I guess. I don't know yet. I haven't really figured out what I'm going to do yet, but I've been thinking about getting on POTA as well. But man, this hobby is so big. I just can't get my mind on anything I want to do. I'm basically taking one thing at a time right now, trying to understand some parts of the hobby before I try it.
It can be overwhelming. There's so much you can do. And, you know, depending on what kind of radio you have, there's special things you can do, you know, like with Yaesu, you got their things, and ICOM has their stuff, whether it be D-Star or, you know, whatever the case may be, and then you got DMR radios. I got some DMR radios and do a good bit on DMR, and I enjoy it. It's a lifelong learning hobby, that's for sure.
You're right about that one. Actually, as a matter of fact, yesterday I was in the mobile driving up to Greer, and Chad, KO4NUE, he was talking about a gentleman who's over 100 years old, been in the hobby for about over 80 years, and man, let me tell you, I kind of wish I could pull all his knowledge in my brain, but I'm definitely one guy that likes to figure things out, the ins and outs, and going from there, but I can only imagine what about that other ham radio operator.
Yeah, he hangs out on the Mount Mitchell repeater, and if you're on Facebook, Mount Mitchell Radio Club has a Facebook page, and they've got his he's on there, picture and several different little write-ups. He's an interesting gentleman, that's for sure, and he's very active in the ham radio community there, so I heard about him, might have been from Chad, and I joined the Mount Mitchell Facebook group just so I could see a picture of him and learn a little more about him.
I think his name was Herb, if I'm not mistaken, but I know there's another gentleman around here in this area. I think it's Gastonia. Oh, man. This is back when I first got my license. I'm having to remember that far. Yeah. I was talking to two gentlemen in California through Echolink, which I'm talking to you right now. And they were telling me how there's a 106-year-old gentleman who celebrated his birthday in Gastonia. I was thoroughly shocked by that.
I can't imagine what they've seen in the hobby and what they've been able to do over the years as technology has increased. And, I mean, like I said, you got everything from, you go back to old 10-watt tube radios to ZMR today, and it's an interesting hobby. I love the technology side of it. I work in IT, and I like playing and just experimenting. That's to me, that's a lot of what the hobby's about, is experimenting and learning what'll work and what won't, and trying to figure it out for yourself. And like I said, you can build your own. You can build your own radio, but easier to buy one. But building your own antennas and building different things, it's a lot of fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I've only been a ham for 9 years, but I've had a lot of fun in the last almost decade doing it.
Wow, that's actually awesome. Holy cow. I think my father, he's the one that got me pulled in this hobby, and he was licensed since, I think it's 04. He was in it hard for a while, and then he dropped it due to the general test that he first took, and he failed, and ended up getting pretty discouraged about everything, but he just got back in the hobby. He's the one that pulled me in. I've been licensed since March, and he pulled me in by, like, showing me FT8, all the digital, some of the digital stuff that we can do. Man, let me tell you what, he got me pulled in this hard, and I'm really enjoying this hobby so far.
It's a lot of fun. The, the DMR is, to me, more or less like Echolink. You just do it through your radio. But I've enjoyed playing with DMR. There's always debate over whether it's really ham radio, but I don't know. You're talking to people, making contacts, and everything. So I don't consider it anything any different. But I've talked to people all over the world on DMR, and it's a like I said, it's a fun hobby. There's always something new to learn and a new way to go about it.
For NNH for station ID. I've actually been messing around with Fusion and DMR and Fusion and DMR using my little hotspot. that is something I can say with absolute certainty. I am absolutely enjoying. I'm actually considering getting just a strictly DMR radio, because the Fusion of DMR is a little finicky. It works, but it's a little wonky at times, but man, I'm having fun with the Fusion and talking on DMR groups here and there, and I'm having a blast, so I can't really complain.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah, I like DMR because, there's so many groups. I mean, there's a group for every state, region, country, location, you name it, and you can zero in and talk to people just in North Carolina or Russia or Australia or the Southeast, or some of the bigger cities have their own talk groups. And so I spend time just flipping around and making contacts, just trying to have some short QSOs and just getting to experiment and see what all's going on. I've got one of the Anytone 878 handhelds, DMR, and it's a great little handheld radio. And I got my hotspot and a little battery pack, and I can turn it up. And I got a Verizon jetpack for internet service, so I can, when I'm away from home or out in the park or anywhere, I can just turn everything on and be talking on the radio and talk to Australia or wherever, and it's like we're just sitting here like me and you are talking, crystal clear and easy to do. So it's just another tool in the tool belt for making connections.
You're absolutely right about that one. I'm actually trying to get a friend of mine on. I got him listening to the repeater the other day. He was pretty impressed by the fact he could hear me through his little bowel thing. Inside a house, mind you. He was thoroughly impressed by that. I sent him the frequency, and I told him, if you ever want to listen, come on this frequency. There's always somebody talking on here, but he's got a little bowel thing he's using. I'm trying to get him on here or in this hobby, and but no, I use a Yaesu FT70D. I use that for fusion to DMR and just strictly fusion at times, but man, I tell you what, whenever I hop on digital, there's always somebody listening, as well as this repeater, funnily enough, as well as the Spark repeater in Spartanburg, but I don't know what's going on with that one. I can't seem to hit that repeater here recently.
The 610 repeater, it's pretty active, and it's got a great footprint, you know, being up on Caesar's Head, and there's one in Georgia. Good gracious, what's the frequency? 146.670. And it's on a little small mountain up above Gainesville, Georgia. And it covers most of North Georgia. And I live here in Harwell, so I'm right in between the two. And between those two repeaters, I can talk most of all the upstate, part of North Carolina, all of North Georgia, and a little bit of Tennessee just off those two repeaters. And I can do it if I put an external antenna on my handheld with 5 watts. So it's easy to make those contacts when you got some good repeaters you can hit.
Wow, that's awesome. I got that. Left me speechless there. I just, wow. Oh, crap. Bill, let me go let you go. Looks like somebody's trying to give me a phone call. This is KO4NNH. I'll be clear after your final.
Man, good talk to you this morning. And wish you well in your adventures in ham radio. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear.